D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Are you aware that there is a concerted effort underway to steal your vote this November?
I think that the left has just been so disingenuous and quite frankly a little condescending when it comes to the ballot security debate.
What happens in a society where truth is thrown aside in pursuit of power?
The scripture says that the foolishness of the fool is his deceit or his lies. He thinks he's getting away with something, and yet he really is not.
We'll expose how the left endeavors to steal your vote, and you'll find out what you can do about it on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. The old cliche that honesty is the best policy remains ever true. But tragically, we live in a time when millions of our fellow citizens hold to no moral absolutes. They think it's okay to lie and steal if you can get away with it, and if the ends justify it. They act as if they will never have to give an account for their lives before the Creator. And nowhere is this clearer than in the political realm. On today's program, we will take you inside the plan to steal your vote this election season and equip you to counter that effort. We will also discover what God's Word has to say on all of this. As we begin, our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb introduces us to some of the tactics being readied for us this election season, tactics designed to steal your vote.
America is exceptional because we put a constitutional harness on the reach and the power of the state. That's why it's so important to have judges who respect that harness and that limitation on the reach and power of the state, because that elevates individual liberty.
But some people warn that there are steps being taken to essentially steal our vote. For example, there are attempts by the left to shoot down laws that would require a voter to show an identification of some kind.
I think that the left has just been so disingenuous and quite frankly a little condescending when it comes to the ballot security debate. They talk about lower income voters, specifically African Americans. Whenever these laws come up that talk about mandating voter IDs being shown before you can cast your vote, the left will actually argue that African Americans aren't smart enough and they don't have the capabilities to get identification to present at the polls.
The left claims requiring voter IDs is part of a racist plan to suppress minority votes. But the evidence shows exactly the opposite.
In America, you have to have an identification to fly, to buy alcohol, to drive a car. Voting in an election is one of the more important things that an American citizen can do, and there should be a unanimous support for voter identification. Without voter identification, we're more likely to have electoral fraud, and that can swing elections in key areas.
Studies have shown that after introduction of voter ID laws, there's no decrease in voter participation, particularly among minorities. Case in point, in Georgia, in 2007, they introduced a very strict voter ID law. In 2008, they increased the minority vote by 30%. Of course, Barack Obama was on the ballot, so that explains the popularity of voting at that time. But if you look at subsequent elections, the Georgia share of the vote increased by minorities from 2006 to the 2014 election. And more recently, in 2018, the minority vote increased yet again. It's not really logical to say that minorities are somehow incapable of providing the same identification as anybody else. In fact, it's downright racist to say they're incapable and not competent, like adults, to get an ID to vote.
We show IDs for basic things like getting on a plane or cashing a check. So why would it be so shocking that identification would be required for voting? Many suspect it's so that false votes can be cast. Critics note that the battle for honest elections is a battle on behalf of we the people, not some sort of ruling class.
The left has a real pessimism in us, the people, to make decisions for ourselves and to manage our own lives for us. While people on the right typically believe that everyday people can do a much better job running their lives and their families and their businesses than the federal government. I do think it's important, and I think you're seeing more and more states, especially purple states, adopt voter ID laws, and they start to improve for conservatives just shortly after passing those laws.
Expanding suspicious votes for the left also seems to be the strategy undergirding open borders proposals, giving votes to non-citizens.
You know, the left has proven that it believes in voters without borders. You know, not only do they believe in a nation without borders and an obligation to protect its borders, they believe in voters without borders. And so they are into vote harvesting, they are into loosening the rules. Simple rules like voter ID, you know, are being adopted, but also being resisted by left-leaning groups who are not in favor of a rules-based culture, but who in fact thrive off of chaos.
The left has deployed a number of strategies to literally steal the vote. One thing is to allow millions of illegal immigrants into the country, not keep track of them, and then weaken the voting laws. And in the book, I go through a number of ways they do this.
And attempts to expand the voter rolls to include people most likely to vote to the left don't end there.
Certain states are more lenient when it comes to letting convicted felons vote. And there are certain states right now that are actually considering allowing inmates to cast votes. And so it's really important that because the states are allowed to determine who gets to vote, that we limit their ability to flood the national elections with anyone. You know, California should only be able to really have an impact on California. We don't want California telling voters in Virginia or Ohio or Colorado how to vote and how to live their lives.
Another technique used by the left to steal votes is to make sure that voter registration rolls are not clean, accurate, and up to date. They fight efforts to clean up the voter rolls. And I know this from having worked for the American Civil Rights Union, which has filed suit in several counties in Mississippi and Texas that had more registered voters than there are eligible living adults living in those counties. Same in Broward County, Florida.
After the midterm elections in 2018, there were some peaceful protests outside of the office of the Broward Supervisor of Elections because of allegations of attempts to steal the vote.
Now, Broward County is very interesting. It was one of the two counties in the 2000 election between Al Gore and George Bush that figured in prominently to the recounts that finally led to a Supreme Court case. A lot of skullduggery seemed to be taking place, and the Supreme Court finally said, okay, stop, and you have to count it fairly, and we accept the results. The state canvassing board accepted the results and said George Bush had just barely won by 537 votes out of millions cast. Later, a study by a media consortium, including the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, concluded that, yes, George Bush had won the election. But boy, they didn't publicize those results.
How do we offset the problem of cheating by getting so many people to vote their biblical values? It wouldn't matter if some cheat. We know that overall, about 40% of Christians are not registered to vote. And in an election like this, only about 38% of the registered ones will vote. So we're looking at literally only 1 out of 8 choosing the winning candidate in races. When we look at Senate races or governor's races, etc., it's only going to be 1 out of every 8 Americans that chooses the winner. And if Christians would show up in higher numbers, it would be so much easier to elect people to office who have the right values, who will move the nation in the right direction where that God can bless the nation.
The numbers are clear that the number of people in America that identify as Christians is a majority of the country. If they just showed up and voted, they could win every election. There was a case several years back where the first open lesbian mayor of Houston wanted to censor all the sermons of all the pastors in Houston. When you look at it, the combined membership of those churches in Houston is multiple times more than what the vote count was that got this mayor elected in the first place. If they would just show up and vote. And I believe that the good Lord is watching each one of us. Are we going to ignore the problem altogether? Or are we going to be part of that small remnant that stands up and says, God, I may or may not be able to turn it around, but you can count on me for trying.
We're facing the most consequential election of our lifetime. The left has deployed a number of strategies to literally steal the vote.
The new book, Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote, exposes the many threats to free elections in this pivotal election year.
If they win this time around, I'm not sure we'll ever get the American freedom we're used to back. It's that important.
In Liberty on the Brink, veteran journalist Robert Knight exposes the schemes to undermine free elections and steal your vote.
They fight voter ID laws. One of the most pernicious attacks on election integrity is the idea of getting rid of the Electoral College. This is a real threat to our self-governing republic.
Contact us today to receive your copy of Liberty on the Brink for a generous donation towards the ongoing work of this ministry.
Because of the all-pervasive power of the federal government, the temptation to lie and cheat to get control of it is stronger than ever. Absolute truth is often dismissed in favor of whatever works to get the job done in the moment. And many now stand with Pontius Pilate's evasive response to Christ's declaration of himself, saying, "What is truth?" But do the ends, in fact, justify the means, as so many believe? One day, we'll give an account to God. As Dr. D. James Kennedy reminds us, in this portion of a classic message, honesty is not only the best policy, it's the only policy.
The children in Sunday school had been memorizing scripture verses, verses that dealt with various moral subjects. And one Sunday in a quiz, the teacher was asking questions. One of them was, "What is a lie?" Little Johnny's face beamed and he shot up his hand, stood to his feet and said, "A lie is an abomination unto the Lord, and a very present help in time of trouble." Well, little Johnny was somewhat confused, wasn't he? And I think there are a great many more people in this country, fully grown, who are even more confused about lying. We live in a day when lying has become epidemic in our country. And indeed, it is a tragic thing. Now, the scripture reminds us to be sure that our sins will find us out. This refers to lies as well. In fact, though liars don't usually know it, lying is one of the easiest sins to detect. Most people know liars. And it's a tragic thing. The scripture says that the foolishness of the fool is his deceit or his lies. He thinks he's getting away with something, and yet he really is not. Aristotle, of course, was asked, "What happens, what does a person gain by lying?" And he says he gains the fact that hereafter he will not be credited even when he speaks the truth. And how true that is. I have, and you have, from time to time, heard people tell lies. You know, there's one thing that happens. You never fully trust them after that. For if they will lie about this, they will lie perhaps about something else, about most anything. And some people think that they are very clever, they've gotten away with much, and they don't realize that they have simply revealed their true character, and they wonder why they never really amounted to much in this world. It was because people knew that they were liars. The ninth commandment says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor." This involves, of course, not only lying and falsehood telling, but also detraction, taking away from others their reputation. Now, the estimable Charles Hodge, the light and glory of Princeton University at the end of the last century, the greatest theologian probably America ever produced, says something very interesting about this commandment that I hope that you will not forget. He says that this belongs into an entirely different class of commandments than some of the rest, such as marriage or the Sabbath or property, because all of those are permanent institutions in our existence here in this world, in this time. But they will be changed at some future date, and they could even be changed, if God so desired, in this world, in our time. But this commandment concerning truth is a part of the very essence of who God is. And he could no more change this than he could change his own nature, because God is a God of truth. And truth is the very foundation of deity. So we see that truth and lying are extremely important matters. And this is even more clearly seen when we remember that Jesus Christ declares that he is truth. When he stood before that cynic Pilate who asked, "What is truth?" he did not realize it. There it was, standing before him, incarnate truth, staring him in the face, and he saw it not. Jesus Christ is truth. And Satan, as Christ said, is a liar and was a liar from the beginning and is the father of lies. You see, Satan is not only a liar, but what he most likes to lie about is God and Christ and the church and Christians and the Bible. These are the principal objects of his lies. But hear the truth as it is spoken through that loudspeaker on Calvary's Hill, the cross. God is telling the world there that he is just, for having taken the guilt of the world and having imputed it to Jesus Christ, his Son, the God of all of the earth who must do rightly, the one who has said that he will visit our transgressions with a rod and our iniquity with stripes, the one who has said that he will in no wise clear the guilty, now looks down upon his own beloved Son, one whom he has loved everlastingly, and there he pours out his wrath for sin upon his own Son. That the world may know that God's word is true. Sin shall not go unpunished. But there is another truth, a second truth, which is also proclaimed there. And that is that the God who is just is also a God who is merciful and loving and gracious. And that Christ has taken upon himself our sin, and that Christ has died in our place that we might be spared. There are some of you that would give all of the world for this opportunity 2 minutes after you are dead. But it shall then be too late. It shall everlastingly be too late. And then you and all liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. Are you guilty? Then come to the guilt bearer, to the sacrifice for sins, to the one who paid it all, who says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow.
As Dr. Kennedy just shared, lies are from Satan. They are his native language. Yet there are always those who think they are very clever and that they will get away with what they want through deceit. But sin does not go unpunished, and God's people are called to stand for and defend the truth. And as you discovered on today's program, there are dishonest people working to silence your voice and take away your vote. But they can be stopped. Stopped by the truth and by your action. But in order to defend truth, we must understand what the father of lies is up to and how to counter it. That's why we've commissioned the brand new book by Robert Knight, Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote. This book is astonishing and critically important in this election year. And we want to send it to you right away as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. As an aside, I want you to know how thankful we are to those who support our ministry through their financial giving. We could not do this important work without you. Thank you so much. So to receive your copy of Liberty on the Brink, simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. This concise new book features chapters on the war on voter identification, the left's money machine, so-called ballot harvesting, and much, much more. Robert Knight shows how the left's ultimate goal is to replace self-government with an all-powerful socialist state in order to suppress Christian morality and dictate how we live and even what we can say. It's essential that you get this book to be prepared for the upcoming election. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we will send you the book, Liberty on the Brink, plus our special new DVD program, Stealing Your Vote, which includes an interview with Robert Knight, as well as other compelling experts like William J. Federer, Gary Bauer, and Trump legal advisor Jenna Ellis Reeves. These key resources are available exclusively from this ministry. You can't find them at stores or online. And with the left's effort to steal your vote at full steam in this election year, I cannot overemphasize how important it is that you have this information and share it with those in your sphere of influence. We will send you the book, Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote by Robert Knight, as our thanks for your generous donation. And for your donation of $50 or more, we will thank you with the book and the special DVD program, Stealing Your Vote. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. We live in one of the most politicized eras in American history. Every news show focuses on Washington, and even seemingly innocuous discussions on Facebook eventually turn into blue versus red, knockdown, drag-out political arguments. The political left is determined to remake our electoral system, using everything from illegal voting to phony ballot harvesting to abolishing the Electoral College. But think for a moment why this is so. Quite simply, it's because in this era of statist big government, controlling the federal government enables controlling everything. According to Scripture, God ordained civil government to punish the evildoer and protect the innocent, so that we might live peaceable lives. But in our day, every aspect of life has become politicized. Government now dominates everything from providing goods and services to health care to determining what constitutes a living wage. And with this de facto control over our everyday lives, the central goal of politics is simply determining who holds the reins of power. But it wasn't always this way. We didn't even have a federal income tax until 1913. The vast majority of Americans had no regular dealings with the federal government at all for the first 125 years of our nation's existence. How different from the culture of government dependency that dominates our day. Where is self-reliance? Where is self-determination? We might even ask, where is the church? But the real question, the one that may determine the future of our republic, is where should government be centered, at the federal or state level? The founders believed the best government was the one closest to the people. Most of the problems of government overreach flow from its vast remove from the people. Yes, government should be smaller. The biggest welfare class in America today is the federal bureaucracy. So how's this for an election year resolution? Let's support candidates who will work to take away the federal government's power and give control back to the people in their own states and their towns, where representatives live among them and directly answer to them. It sounds novel today, but it's just the way the founders intended it. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. I'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The progressive left has, since 1965 and even prior to that, used the Supreme Court as an ability to legislate from the court.
And more Christians are rising up, whereas before, the majority of Christians didn't even vote in this country.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.